Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Eyotunde Obasanya, the Head of Global Infrastructure at Funding Circle UK. So yeah, we'll get straight into things. I'm actually really looking forward to the conversation because it's actually quite rare that I get infrastructure people on the show. So you will have to thank Jess very much for kind of putting me in contact with you. It's for whatever reason, I struggle to get infrastructure people on, but very happy to have you join me today and kind of learn, hopefully learn a little bit about kind of your background and obviously talk as much as about infrastructure as possible. So, I think like a lot of technical people, I'm always really compelled to kind of learn, you know, actually how you first started, I suppose learning and building your craft.
Well, I guess, you know, thanks, Andy. I think for me, you know, how this all got started was my interest in the internet many, many years ago. I think I grew up as a kid very interested in just engineering and things that, you know, I used to open up TV sets. I used to try and fix stuff. So my parents very quickly realized I had this interest in just, you know, from an engineering technical perspective. And throughout my education, that then led me down the path towards, you know, doing courses within, you know, developments, doing courses within technology and IT. But I think what really sparked my interest during my teenager years was basically around when the internet boom happened. I think back then in, you know, mid-90s for me, I think. And that was really, really interesting for me. I don't know if you remember back then, the AOL days, you know, dial-up modems and all that. And then that really sparked my interest in terms of how it all worked, meaning you could connect to computers all around the world. You could communicate with anyone whatsoever on, you know, messaging platforms, email, blogs, and all that. And then I went on this quest on trying to understand how it all hang together. So I did a number of courses and self-development on my part, and I did everything from, development in terms of writing code, you know, the early days of BASIC and COBOL, doing stuff around databases, and I played around with SQL, English queries, did a lot of stuff on the telecom space as well, so built a few infrastructures on that front, satellite communications, and just gradually built myself until where I am at today, and gained just a massive ton of experience across all the different business domains. And quite recently, as you can understand, I lead global infrastructure at Funding Circle. Been working in the financial space, you know, helping organizations such as Funding Circle build their infrastructure, taking it from, you know, possibly small sized on-prem type of infrastructure to scaling that out to global platforms that are able to scale on demand.
It's really, really compelling stuff. And I typically find, with infrastructure professionals specifically, you have this just absolute desire to learn how things work, right? And I'm sure you were kind of no different and, you know, just continually fascinated at getting to the bottom of how, things practically work. I can imagine that that's something that you never run out of things to learn with that regard.
Yeah, that's exactly true, Andy. It it's constantly evolving. You know, if we look back from the way infrastructure in itself has evolved, you know, it's evolved so, you know, massively over the years, you know, right from, you know, your, you know, traditional on-prem infrastructure to having, you know, a small mini computer, you know, underneath the basement running your web services or running your databases. And now, you know, we're now in this age where it's all about cloud infrastructure and that how that has just taken over the space. And, you know, you have to constantly build your skill sets and constantly evolve to keep pace with the evolving infrastructure and where it's going to, you know. Within my world, we talked about platform as a service. We talked about infrastructure as code. And now we're starting to see serverless infrastructure starting to gain ground in terms of functions as a service. And if you step back all the way, you know, from where we came from many, many years ago, you know, if you wanted to build some infrastructure, you would have to buy a physical server, make sure it had the right amount of CPU, populate it with the right amount of RAM, hard drives, get a disk array. Then you then have to install the operating system, manage all the updates, connect switches, cabling. All of that right now sits in code. So essentially, infrastructure engineers, in terms of the team I lead, the DevOps organization, essentially does all this right in code. And, you know, think about that. You know, it's evolved from just connecting physical wires, but just, you know, interacting with your infrastructure just, you know, like a programmer, which is, I think, is a massive shift from where we've come to many, many years ago. So it's constantly changing, it's constantly evolving. And, you know, it's interesting where the next 10 years are going to take us. You know, I've started to think about things like, you know, machine learning, you know, how as an infrastructure leader, as an infrastructure team, how do we start to leverage using machine learning on our infrastructure as well?
It's really fascinating. And the thing that I think I find the hardest to comprehend for someone in your position is it's almost really kind of managing what you need to invest your time into next in order to stay relevant and stay ahead of the power curve, for a lack of a better term, with the, you know, the technologies and the techniques that you need to learn next, because, you know, we have so much technology and so many different things that are potentially coming into fruition at the moment. And that's been pretty consistent, I would say, for the last 5 to 10 years. And the difficulty in that from a technical perspective seems to be managing what to invest your time in next, because you might invest time into something thinking, okay, this is where we need to focus our attention on. This is what's going to be next. This is what where the demand is going to be. And this is where the demand for the skills is going to be. And this is where we need to do to stay relevant as a organization and as an infrastructure team. But, you know, nothing's guaranteed that is actually going to be the thing that is next. There's a lot of new technology coming through, and not all of them work out practically. So that's got to be something that is pretty new, I would say, relatively new, a consideration for a technical person now, and something that, you know, must be actually a constant that plays on your mind.
Definitely, Andy, and it is a challenge as well, because as part of my role, apart from thinking about today, like you said, I have to think about tomorrow. I need to think about what's the next evolving trend from my development organization, and what are the skill sets the team has to learn for tomorrow to make them relevant, to be able to be ready when we do evolve into those new technologies. What principles do we need to apply right now to prepare us to allow us to be able to make that shift when we're ready? So as an example, I'm sure you've heard about, microservices architecture, distributed architecture as well. But one of the main shifts that's happening in the infrastructure space is a lot of organizations are starting to move towards container-based infrastructure using the likes of Docker and Kubernetes, because we've seen that in my time in IT and infrastructure, that if you can set the necessary foundation now, at least it ensures that your applications, your services are portable as technology evolves. And we know that containerization is here to stay. So as long as you're starting to build your microservices workloads on container-based infrastructure, that allows you to be portable, you know, across, apart from being allowing you to be agile across your staging, UAT, and production environments, as we start to go towards hyper-converged, hybrid infrastructures, your workloads can move and they're cloud agnostic, if you see. And I think what's on my mind is the two players right now, the likes of, you know, Docker and Kubernetes. And for me, I've already started to think with my team to start to plug into the likes of Kubernetes platform as a service, containerization, to make sure our architectures can move across both platforms. So as it continues to evolve, we might not know what the new technology will be in the next 5-10 years, but we do know that our workloads, our applications are packaged in a manner that as it evolves, they will continue to be able to move as the technology evolves.
It takes a certain kind of leader, I suppose, to be thinking in those terms, because it kind of is beyond just being able to do the things technically. It also takes that great kind of macro awareness. And I don't necessarily think that it can be, you know, taught to the fullest. I think you can learn to think in those, in that respect. But you must have always had that kind of way of thinking, that kind of forward thinking mentality for a long time. And I'm sure you also had, you know, influences along the way. And, you know, when you got into those kind of leadership positions, you must have felt a great sense of responsibility to think in that way. And I'm just curious about, you know, how you think you kind of got there. Was it through influences, or was it through, you know, just, I suppose, being thrown in the deep end?
I think it's a bit of both. So one thing, you know, I was always known for, I had one of my CTOs, one of the companies I worked for, he said to me one time, he says, "Ayo, I think you're God." And I laughed, because the reason he said that was anything they threw at me, I was able to resolve. And it didn't matter if I had exposure to it at any point in time. The point was my foundation allowed me to piece things apart and figure it out. So from a technical perspective, I was a problem solver. So I had very, very good technical skills across different parts of infrastructure. So if it's corp IT, if it's development, security, architecture, business analytics, databases, I had played across all those spaces. So for me, it allowed me to be that person, somewhat like the subject matter expert, to go to be able to resolve technical challenges for businesses and organizations. And as part of that, I had a great passion for people. I had a great passion to help people achieve their objectives and goals. I always like to say something, you know, I always like to be part of people's success stories. You know, I was very influential in terms of translating business requirements to technical requirements, gaining support with the teams to direct them into a common goal and objective. And I think over time, I started to gain that responsibility, because businesses and organizations or leaders could trust me if they said, "Well, we need you to solve this problem or develop this new architecture." And they were sure I would get it done. I would be able to leverage the resources I need, use my team, direct their focus, and deliver it. And over time, I started to climb up the leadership ladder in terms of demonstrating both my technical skills, but the ability to lead teams. And then it started to grow in terms of leading not just one team, but leading multiple teams, and then leading global teams as well. And then as you climb up, as you can imagine, at some point you find yourself, you know, you're still very technical, but you're doing a lot of presentations and spreadsheets and thinking about strategy, and you're not involved in writing code as much. So one thing I did learn is, as a leader, as you start to climb up the ladder, you then start to learn how you start to replace and master those technical skills. You learn a new set of skills. you know, which is leadership, which is mentorship, which is strategy, stakeholder management, managing multiple global teams. And it's such great fun. And I really, really do enjoy it. And, you know, I'm really excited about, you know, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the teams I lead. And it's great. So I think, and then, you know, I've had mentors, I've had sponsorship as well, just because I've just been that standout person, I think, everywhere I've been.
And it's, yeah, it's, it takes a certain type of person, though, to have that. I call it kind of a hybrid now. And I think that we do expect so much more of technical people these days than we used to. And what I mean by that is that you have to be this kind of hybrid of understanding the business fundamentals as much as, you know, actually having the technical capabilities at the same time. And it's not an easy combination to have. I think yeah. Just personality fit wise, typically, and obviously I say this, I'm obviously generalizing here, but you know, it's not always a natural fit to be, have that business acumen as well as having, you know, the really technical capabilities. So you obviously kind of have that, which is still very rare. But with that said, I do think that we are expecting a hell of a lot from technical people now. You even look at technology, it's really everything is becoming kind of hybrids of itself. Even as you said, like DevOps is a great example of, you know, just hybriding two disciplines together. And we're seeing that kind of more and more. And, you know, just that kind of natural, having that business acumen is so much in demand now. And we certainly see that from the recruitment perspective. You know, organizations want technical people, but they don't just want technical people now. They want people who almost more so understand the fundamentals of what they're trying to achieve as a business and as a team.
Yeah, I completely agree. And in my role at Funding Circle, I'm what you call a hybrid in the sense that I look after two different departments. So I am responsible for the corporate IT organization globally. So that's in the UK, US, Germany, and Netherlands, as well as a DevOps and development operations teams globally as well. So in my domain, I wear two hats. So I am a hybrid, almost looking at, you know, our IT services, end user computing, application, looking after over 350 vendors. At the same time, I am responsible for our marketplace platform to make sure it's designed in the right way, it scales, responsible for the performance, responsible for the uptime, ensuring that we're continuing to evolve that platform and, you know, our business continues to run 24/7, no downtime, ensure it's secure as well, ensure we meet all our compliance objectives. You know, we're now we're FCA regulated organization. I speak with investors. I'm meeting, doing due diligence, compliance audits, doing presentations with the business to the board, to senior stakeholders. So I'm almost a merge of hybrid as well. And what's important for me as well is, from a business perspective, the vision of what we're trying to do drives infrastructure, drives my objectives as well. And me being able to understand and translate that is very important for myself and the rest of the teams. So Funding Circle today is the biggest peer-to-peer lender marketplace in the world outside China, right? We've learned over £3 billion today. Think about that. And what we believe in, essentially what we're trying to do here, is, you know, essentially provide fast, affordable business finance. We make decisions on an average of 6 minutes in terms of applications coming through. And when you think about that, our core principle here is about making fast decisions. And for us to be able to make fast decisions, we use technology to achieve that. And there's a lot of infrastructure behind that. There's a lot of data analytics behind that. There's a lot of engineering that makes that happen. And for me as a leader, I have to constantly be forward thinking about ensuring as we continue to evolve, we have our ambitions right now by 2026 to be originating about 100 billion. So think about that, from 3 billion today to 100 billion. I have to be thinking, what's that infrastructure going to look like to allow us to be able to scale and cope with the demand. And obviously, that would probably mean we might be in multiple countries as well. And ensuring that, you know, one of the greatest nightmares for any organization is things like security breaches or data breaches. I have to make sure that the infrastructure is also very secure as well. And we have the right levels of defense to protect the business from outside threats as well. So I think, like you say, it's interesting as a hybrid, and it's constantly juggling all those, you know, balance, a balancing act. And I think finally, I think on my side, what's also important in my role is being able to deal with the challenges when things do go wrong, right? How do you deal with that as a leader when you have, you know, many platforms, the big players like Amazon, Google, Facebook, sometimes they'll have outages or have downtime and, you know, you lose loads of money. And sometimes being able to deal with that pressure, being responsible for such, you know, a massive platform that's originating up to 3 billion today, takes a lot to be able to handle that and manage that, because sometimes, you know, things don't always go according to plan, and you have to be able to react very quickly, provide confidence to the business, and ensure we're always taking the right steps towards sustainability and success of the organization.
Really interesting, mate. And I think that you're clearly motivated by, I don't want to speak for you, but you're clearly motivated by outcomes, you know, as much as you are about the technology. And I think that's why, from my perspective, you know, having listened to you, that's why you've managed to do this kind of hybrid role and become this leader, is because as much as it is about the technology, you're also compelled by outcomes. And it's clearly obvious by listening to you here that how excited you are at the prospect of, you know, what Funding Circle can actually produce.
Definitely, definitely. It's a great time. It's a great space. I am excited about the challenge we're trying to solve, the problem sets we're trying to solve, because it goes to the hearts of people. It goes to the hearts of what you're trying to do, which is help small businesses. Because when you think about it, when Funding Circle was founded, you know, what we saw was a gap, right? We saw a gap that businesses weren't being given the finance they needed to grow, and investors were making poor returns. So we said, you know what? We had a very simple idea, which is let them support each other. It's as simple as that. And we built this marketplace. So right now we're, you know, small businesses, you know, the accountants, the drillers, the bakers, you know, mechanics, you know, every, you know, small businesses that you and me interact with on a day-to-day basis are now able to, you know, grow their businesses, you know, whether it's for, they need to boost their cash flow, refurbish their premises, hire extra staff. And we know that, you know, by doing this, we are contributing to the economy. You know, we believe we've created about 80,000 jobs directly and indirectly till date. And that is just a massive vision for us as Funding Circle. And that personally motivates and drives me, because even though I'm a technologist, even though I'm an infrastructure leader, it gives me that reason to wake up in the morning that what we're doing is about technology, but it's for the greater good as well.
I like that a lot. Ayo, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.